I'm calling this study Judgment is Coming to America, because it is. And we're in a time where if anyone can't see it, they're blind. If they can't see what's coming on the land, most people can feel it. However, there are those that are still living in the delusion. They're collecting their paycheck from the beast every week, and they're pretty much oblivious to what's going on out here in the land. I feel it where I am. I'm seeing the donations for the work that I do, and I do work very hard. I'm not living on anybody's charity. I'm seeing things dry up all around me, and I know that there are a lot of people that are feeling it, and some aren't. And those that aren't, well, it's going to come on them suddenly. And they'll lose everything. I would rather have it come on gradually so that I can, you know, kind of tighten my belt. And that's only speaking financially. America, the second beast of Revelation, will last until the end. That's right. It will stand until the Messiah returns, when it will be abolished with all of the other nations, or the times of the Gentiles ends when the Messiah returns. You go back to Daniel chapter 2 and you read about the image dream of mystery Babylon, and or the times of the Gentiles, both the same thing, referring to the same image. Mystery Babylon, because the head of gold is Babylon, the head of the image. And Babylon is destroyed at the return of Messiah. You can read about that in Revelation. Babylon is fallen. Yes. Before the Messiah returns, Babylon falls. And the times of the Gentiles, because Yahshua said that Jerusalem would be trodden down until the times of the Gentiles. And the word "they're Gentiles" is one of those few untranslated words in the King James Version. And it's untranslated because it actually means nations. And because even Israel was referred to as, when it said the nation Israel, it was the Gentile Israel. But in context, in most places, and that's why they did it, why they translated the word, they didn't translate the word, but carried it through and gave us a new word in English, is because usually when the word nations was used in the original language, it meant the other nations other than Israel, or other than his called out holy nation, which was a nation of flesh with Israel. And that ended with the 70 weeks that were determined. And then the new nation became a holy, called out nation over all the earth. That, what did Yahshua said? He said that, that those that are born of the Spirit, you can't tell who they are by looking on with your eyes. They're like the wind. So there you have it. But America will last. But that doesn't mean that judgment is coming in the midst of the land. And it is coming. And all of these judgments that our Heavenly Father poured out on all of these, on his own people and all the nations round about, many of those judgments are coming here. The sword is coming. I don't know what form and how limited it will be, but it is coming. Famine is definitely coming. Pestilence comes with famine and the sword. And, well, the financial thing is already here, and that's all by design of those who control the money, so they can bring in their final form of Satan's monetary system. So that's coming, and that's the part that is going to bring about all the rest. Ezekiel, dealing with, who is he dealing with now? Back up here a little bit, and he's dealing with Tyrus. And who was Tyrus? A place in Palestine, Tyre. And I guess that perhaps a city of the Assyrians, because he does mention the Assyrians. So in chapter 26, verse 7, let's pick it up there. For thus saith the Lord God, I will bring upon Tyrus Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, a king of kings from the north, with horses, with chariots, with horsemen, with companies, and with much people. And we know, and we went through Jeremiah, and where the Heavenly Father declares that Babylon was a sword of judgment in his hand. And so Babylon is the sword of judgment in his hand, and he brings it against Israel and Judah, and now he brings it against Tyre, the Ammonites, and then all of the nations round about. And then finally, we'll get there. Babylon is punished. We have history. And we have the word. Like I said, this is the most accurate. This is the history book of history books, people. This is the one that we use to verify all the others. Of course, most people verify the word of God with others, and they keep finding out that it's true. People will find things in the scripture and they'll say, well, that can't be. There's no evidence for it. And well, lo and behold, you know, a few years later, someone will dig something up, and there's more evidence to corroborate what the scripture says. It stands. By reason of the abundance of his horses, their dust shall cover thy walls and shake the noise of the horsemen. Okay, we read that. I'm going to jump down here. With hooves of his horses, he shall tread down all thy streets and slay thy people with the sword. And thy strong garrison shall go down to the ground. And they shall make a spoil of thy riches and make a prey of thy merchandise, and they shall break down thy walls and destroy thy pleasant houses, and they shall lay thy stones and thy timber and thy dust in the midst of the water. And I will cause the noise of thy songs to cease, and the sound of thy harps shall be no more heard. And I will make thee like the top of a rock. Thou shalt be a place to spread nets upon, and thou shalt be built no more. For I, Yahuwah, have spoken. Verse 15, thus saith the Lord God. And that's the Adonai, Yahweh. So literally translated the Lord. And of course, they don't translate the name. They always have it as God in the Authorized King James Version. To Tyrus, thou shall not the isles shake at the sound of thy fall? When the wounded cry, when the slaughter is made in the midst of thee? Then all the princes of the sea shall come down from their thrones and lay away their robes and put off their embroidered garments, and they shall clothe themselves with trembling. They shall sit upon the ground and shall tremble at every moment and be astonished at thee. Why are they trembling? I'll tell you why they're trembling. Because they're thinking, we're next. You know, they see the king of Babylon, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, with all his army and all his horses and all his chariots. And that's what they're trembling at. They shall tremble at every moment and be astonished at thee. And they shall take up a lamentation for thee and say to thee, how art thou destroyed that was inhabited of seafaring men, a renowned city, and was strong in the sea, she and her inhabitants, which caused their terror to be on all that haunt it. Now shall the isles tremble in the day of thy fall. Yea, the isles that are in the sea shall be troubled at thy departure. For thus saith the Lord God, when I shall make thee a desolate city, like the cities that are not inhabited, when I shall bring up the deep upon thee, and the great waters shall cover thee, when I shall bring thee down with them that descend into the pit, with the people of old time, and shall set thee in the low parts of the earth, in places desolate of old, with them that go down into the pit, that thou be not inhabited, and I shall set glory in the land of the living. I will make thee a terror, and thou shalt be no more, though thou be sought for. Yet shalt thou never be found again, saith the Lord God. The word of Yahuwah came again unto me, saying, and we're in chapter 27, now thou son of man, take up a lamentation for Tyrus, and say unto Tyrus, O, thou art situate at the entry of the sea, which art a merchant of the people for many isles. Thus saith the Lord God, O Tyrus, thou hast said, I am of perfect beauty. Thy borders are in the midst of the seas. Thy builders have perfected thy beauty. They have made all thy shipboards of fir trees of cedar. They have taken cedars from Lebanon to make masts for thee. of the oaks of Bashan they have made thine oars. The company of Asherites have made thy benches of ivory, and brought out of the isles of Chittim fine linen with embroidered work from Egypt, was that which thou spreadest forth to be thy sail, blue and purple from the isles of Elishia, was that which covered thee. The inhabitants of Zidon and Arvad were thy mariners, thy wise men, O Tyrus, that were in thee, were thy pilots. The ancients of Gebal and the wise men thereof were in thee, thy caulkers. All the ships of the sea with their mariners were in thee to occupy thy merchandise. They of Persia and Lud and Put were in thine army, thy men of war. They hanged the shield and helmet in thee, and they set forth thy comeliness. The men of Arvad with thine army were upon thy walls round about, and the Gamadims were in thy towers. They hang their shields upon thy walls round about, and they have made thy beauty perfect. Tarshish was thy merchant by reason of the multitude of all kind of riches with silver, iron, tin, and lead, and they traded in thy fairs. Juvan, Tubal, Meshech, they were thy merchants. They traded the persons of men and vessels of brass in thy market. They of the house of Togarma traded in thy fairs with horses and horsemen and mules. The men of Dedan were thy merchants. Many isles were the merchandise of thy hand. They brought thee for a present horns of ivory and ebony. Syria was thy merchant by reason of the multitude of thy wares of thy making. They occupied thy fairs with emeralds, purple, embroidered work, and fine linen, and coral and agate. Judah, the land of Israel, they were thy merchants. They traded in thy market wheat of Minnith, Panag, and honey, and oil, and balm. Damascus was thy merchant in the multitude of the waters of thy making, for the multitude of all riches in the wine of Helbon and white wool. Dan also of Javan, going to and fro, occupied thy fairs. Bright iron, cassia, calamus were in thy market. Dedan was thy merchant in precious clothes for chariots. Arabia and all the princes of Kedar, they occupied with thee in lambs and rams and goats. In these were they merchants. The merchants of Sheba and Ramah, they were thy merchants. They occupied thy fairs with chief of all spices, with all precious stones and gold. Haran and Chena and Eden, the merchants of Sheba, Asher, Chimad, were thy merchants. These were thy merchants in all sorts of things, in blue clothes and embroidered work, and in chests of rich apparel, bound with cords and made of cedar among thy merchandise. The ships of Tarshish did sing of thee in thy market, and thou wast replenished and made very glorious in the midst of the seas. Thy rowers have brought unto thee great waters, brought thee into great waters. The east wind hath broken thee in the midst of the seas. Thy riches and thy fares, thy merchandise, thy mariners and thy pilots, thy caulkers, and the occupiers of thy merchandise, all thy men of war that are all in thee, and all thy company which is in the midst of thee, shall fall into the midst of the seas in the day of thy ruin. The suburbs shall make at the sound of the cry of thy pilots. The suburbs shall shake at the sound of the cry of thy pilots, and all that handle the oar, the mariners, and all the pilots of the sea shall come down from their ships, and they shall stand upon the land, and shall cause their voice to be heard against thee, and shall cry bitterly, and shall cast up dust upon their heads. They shall wallow themselves in the ashes, and they shall make themselves utterly bald for thee, and gird themselves with sackcloth, and they shall weep for thee with bitterness of heart and bitter wailing. And in their wailing they shall take up a lamentation for thee, and lament over thee, saying, what city is like Tyrus, like the destroyed in the midst of the sea? when thy wares went forth out of the seas, thou filled many people, and did enrich the kings of the earth with the multitude of thy riches of thy merchandise. And in time, when thou shalt be broken by the seas and the depths of the waters, thy merchandise and all thy company in the midst of thee shall fall. All the inhabitants of the isles shall be astonished at thee, and their kings shall be sore afraid, and they shall be troubled in their countenance. The merchants among the people shall hiss at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never any more. Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up. Oh man, you know, if you were over there in Tyre and you received this letter, because I'm sure that it went out and they received the word of this, man, the details would just melt their hearts. It's not what you would want to hear. Because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man, and not God. And thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, the prince of Tyrus. Now, we've got princes like that over all the land here. Of course, they got the big prince over there. They call him the Papa, the great, the Holy Father over there sitting on his throne in the Vatican, the God of this world. Set his, thine heart is as the heart of God, though thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thy understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and has gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. That's the wrong kind of wisdom. By thy great wisdom and thy traffic, thou hast increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. And that's where wealth can be a curse, because wealth does have that effect. It does lift you up. But I would not. I would rather be lifted up, because the Heavenly Father, he said, whoever humbles himself, I will exalt. Whoever lifts himself up, I will bring down. Many people, when they become rich, you can see all the so-called celebrities out there. These are just men and women. And usually, they don't know very much. They're just puffed up by their riches. You know, maybe they read a lot of movie scripts or sung a lot of lyrics and songs, but that doesn't make them wise. But when they speak, everybody wants to listen. They want to know what they said. What foolishness. They're just men and women, and they're lifted up by their riches. They're puffed up. They think more of themselves than they ought. But to be wealthy and humble, now that would be rare. And a few people can pull that off. You know, what did the Messiah say? He said, it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom than for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. That's the way we have it. And you go, wow, that's an impossible saying. Who then can be saved? One of his disciples said, who then can be saved? And of course, Messiah said, well, with Heavenly Father, all things are possible. Thanks be to him. Hallelujah. With thy wisdom and thine understanding, thou hast gotten riches. Now he's specifically addressing the prince of Tyre. And of course, the prince is the king or whoever, and claiming himself to be a god. That was usually the mode then. I must be a god. You know, that's how riches can puff you up, especially if you have riches and power. You know, power of life and death is in your tongue, you know. And that's the kind of power the kings had then. Of course, they have it now, but they keep it hidden. Yes, they want someone dead. They just command it, and pretty much it's done. Many of them do. You know, the trail of bodies behind certain so-called presidents. And it goes on. They just keep it hidden today. They don't want all that criticism. And you know what really that is? I'm going to break it to you. Is that is the effect that the Messiah has had on the nations. The Messiah had a great effect on all the nations of the world, and his word and the word of God being printed into all languages had a great effect, so that now those that exercise that kind of power and they think they're gods, well, they keep it to themselves now. And they do in secret that which they used to do openly. But the Messiah and the Word of God had a great effect on the nations. That's why it's bearable today, though most of the heathen would never acknowledge that. Behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the sea. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? Oh, that's a strong rebuke from the Almighty Creator. You know, are you going to say before me when I'm slaying you that you are God? Are you going to say it then? No, when your destruction comes, when the demise of your mortality eventually comes, whatever way it comes, do you say then that you're God? Where are your riches then that puffed you up and made you so wise in them? Where's all the power on earth that you exercised over the lives of other? Where is it then when you're on your deathbed and the life, the breath of life is going out of you? It's nowhere to be found. It was all vanity. That's all. Wilt thou say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken, saith Adonai Yahweh. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say to him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. And this is where we're going to pick up when we come back. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back in a few minutes.